Telepictures Corporation. Stacy Keach. Samantha Eggar. In All the Kind Strangers, with narrative description by Audiovision Canada. On a U.S. interstate, the man behind the wheel of a white convertible drinks from a pop can as he drives. Starring John Savage, Robbie Benson, also starring Arlene Farber as Martha, and Tim Parkinson as Gilbert. The driver takes an exit. Introducing Patty Parkinson, Brent Campbell, and John Connell. Directors of photography, Gene Polito and Robert Hauser. Produced by Roger Lewis. Written by Clyde Ware. Executive producer, Jerry Gross. Directed by Burt Kennedy. On a two-lane country road, the convertible passes a young, blonde-haired boy walking along the shoulder. The driver stops and backs up.
Looks like he got quite a load there. Would you like a lift?
I ain't got far to go.
How far are you going?
There's a dirt road. About a mile, I expect.
A mile? That's a long way. Come on, I'll give you a ride.
Okay.
Hey, I'll give you a hand.
He takes the groceries and the boy gets in.
Boy, that thing sure is heavy. What you got in there?
Oh, just flour, salt, things like that.
Here we go.
The boy picks a can of pop off the floor.
Go ahead. It's all right.
He opens it.
Where'd you get those groceries out there in the middle of nowhere?
Pennsboro.
Pennsboro? Is that town I came through a ways back?
Yes, sir.
Must be 5 miles. You mean you carry that stuff all that way?
It ain't so far.
How old are you?
Seven.
When I was seven, I wasn't even allowed to cross the street.
You're nice. What's your name?
James Wheeler. Everybody calls me Jimmy.
I got a brother named James. We call James James.
My mother used to call me James.
That's good. It's in the Bible, you know. James. Nobody calls him Jimmy.
What do they call you?
Gilbert. Gilbert Janner.
Gilbert?
Hey, what's this?
It's a camera. Now be careful. Don't put your finger on the lens.
Are all these things cameras?
Uh-huh.
What do you do with them?
I take pictures. That's my job. I take pictures, and then I write stories to go along with them. I'm what they call a photojournalist.
Hey, there it is, right up there, on the right.
Jimmy pulls over at the junction with a gravel road.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Wheeler. Sure wish you could come and take some pictures of me and my folks sometime.
Wait a minute.
Jimmy picks up a Polaroid camera and frames a shot of Gilbert.
Okay, smile.
When he smiles, Jimmy snaps his picture and gives it to him.
There you go.
What's this?
Just keep watching.
Jimmy glances down the gravel road.
How far down that road do you live?
Oh, not more than a mile.
Well, do you figure you're going to catch a ride with a neighbor or something like that?
Ain't got no neighbors. Hey, what's happening?
Just keep watching it. I'll take you home.
Gilbert watches the Polaroid develop as Jimmy turns onto the gravel road, kicking up a plume of dust behind him. Jimmy pulls off the gravel road onto a muddy dirt track. The woods hem in the track on either side, and Jimmy winces as the car bottoms out.
I thought you said it was a mile, Gilbert.
I said it so. Peter sees this.
It's going to be dark pretty soon, Gilbert. I'm surprised your folks would let you come all this way by yourself.
He stops the car.
We've come over 2 miles, Gilbert. There's not even a road anymore.
I'd take some shortcuts.
I don't think I can drive much further. Your mother's going to be worried sick about you.
Ain't got no ma.
I'm sorry.
It really ain't much further now. Peter, he's my big brother. He knows a better road. It's longer, though.
I sure hope it doesn't rain. If it does, it won't even be able to get the top up.
Not needed. Just go straight ahead.
Yeah.
They continue along the bumpy, little-used track through the woods. Gilbert smiles as Jimmy grimaces. The track has grown so narrow that branches scrape over the car's hood and windshield. Slipping and sliding on the grass, Jimmy pulls to a stop and they both stand to look over the windshield.
Is that what I think it is?
The road ahead is flooded.
That's the creek.
Gilbert, nobody puts a road through the middle of a creek.
Maybe the road was there first. It's only a few inches deep.
Are you sure it's inches, not deep?
Gilbert nods.
It only gets high after rain. All creeks do that.
Uh-huh.
Come on, let's go.
They sit back down and move on. The convertible slips and slides down the muddy bank as Jimmy drives into the water and along the creek bed.
More to the left. Level off now.
Jimmy spins his wheels as he steers for the opposite bank. The car lurches onto solid ground as the track runs up across a field. Jimmy pulls up to a gate in a barbed wire fence.
Right back on the tree. We're gonna beat the rain.
Gilbert gets out to open the gate. Jimmy glances nervously at the sky, then pushes the switch on the dash to raise the convertible top. Gilbert comes back and sees it.
Look at her go. It sure is a fine automobile, Mr. Wheeler.
It was, before that last mile. Come on, get in.
He gets back in. They drive on, leaving the gate with its no trespassing sign standing open. It's raining by the time Jimmy pulls into the Channer's yard. He passes a barn as he drives over to the house and stops in front.
Well, here we are, Gilbert. Listen, do me a favor. Ask your brother to come out here and show me the other road back.
Can't you come in just for a little while? Maybe take some more of these?
Well,
I'd really sure like it.
I'd like to. I really would, but I'm afraid I can't. I gotta be on my way.
Peter's probably out bringing in the cows. He'll want to show you till after supper. Come on!
Gilbert gets out of the car and walks up onto the porch. Jimmy reaches into the back seat for his jacket and puts it on. Gilbert waits on the porch with three dogs as Jimmy gets out of the car carrying the bag of groceries. On the porch, Jimmy finds himself confronted by a German Shepherd, a Rottweiler, and a Bloodhound. He steps up onto the porch and walks over to Gilbert. Jimmy follows Gilbert inside.
Come on. Come on.
Gilbert leads Jimmy through a wide central hall with a fireplace on one side and through a curtained doorway.
There's the family.
Two boys and two girls slouch on the furniture in the parlor. Gilbert's brothers and sisters stare suspiciously at the stranger.
There's Mr. Wheeler.
Nobody moves.
This here's my brother James, Mr. Wheeler. I told you about him. He's 11.
Hello, James.
Hello. Rita's 12.
Rita smiles indifferently.
Hi, Rita.
John's 15.
John?
John sullenly lowers his eyes.
That's Martha. She can't talk.
The eldest, Martha, lowers her eyes, too.
Nice to meet you, Martha. Nice to meet all of you.
This ain't all of us. Baby?
He yanks a young boy from behind the couch.
This here's Baby.
Ma died when he was born, so he didn't get no other name.
Baby?
Gilbert? You go bring Peter.
He seen us coming.
I said go get him.
Well, that's all right, John.
Jimmy turns and sees him.
I saw him pull in.
They stare coolly at each other.
That's Mr. Wheeler, Peter.
John, you want to tend to the livestock? Come on, you know what to do.
John gets up off the couch.
It was nice to meet you, Peter. Listen, I was wondering if you could show me the road out of here.
Martha? Tend to Baby's nose. You know he's catching a cold.
Martha obeys.
Figured on having you join us for supper, Mr. Wheeler.
But I'd like to. I really would, but I'm afraid I can't.
Peter shifts uncomfortably.
Obliged to have you stay. Driving Gilbert home and all.
Well, I appreciate the invitation, but if you'll just show me the road out of here, that'll be thanks enough.
Well, if you really gotta go. All right, I'll show you.
So long, kids. Be good. Nice to meet you. Bye, Gilbert.
Thanks for the ride, Mr. Will.
You bet.
As Jimmy follows Peter out of the parlor, Gilbert finds James and his sister staring at him. Peter grabs an oilskin coat off a hook as he leads Jimmy out onto the porch.
Go right at the barn, turn left at the cornfield, and you'll see the road. It's gravel, so the rain won't bother you none.
Peter leaves.
All right, now, I go right at the barn, left at the cornfield. Now, once I get to the road, which way do I go?
He turns around to find only the dogs with him on the porch. He glances around, but there's no sign of Peter. Jimmy nods to the Rottweiler. Pulling his jacket around him, he hurries through the rain to his car and gets in. Jimmy pounds the steering wheel in frustration. Getting out, Jimmy steps to the front of the car and unlatches the hood. He reaches into the engine to check the distributor. James leaves the house. He joins Jimmy by the car.
I just can't believe it. 6,000 miles, not even broken in. You got a telephone?
No, sir. Looks like you'll be having supper with us now and spending the night.
Jimmy nods. Resigned, he slams down the hood. That night, the thunderstorm continues. Inside...
All right, good. Hold it just like that. Okay. Smile. Hold it.
Jimmy takes a family portrait with his Polaroid camera.
Oh, there it is. It's all taken right there. Just keep your eyes on it.
He hands the photo to Gilbert, and the family watches it develop.
Isn't that me? There I am.
As Jimmy takes a picture of the clock on the mantle, Peter steps over to him.
You're going all the way to California?
Uh-huh.
License plate saying New York.
Well, my job takes me a lot of different places. Anywhere there's an interesting story.
I read about California and New York. I'll be going there myself someday. New Orleans first, though. Mardi Gras. It sure must be something.
Oh, it is. It's very exciting. Big carnival.
You been there?
Uh-huh.
You got pictures?
No, not with me.
I read about it. Ma was a school teacher, you know. She had a lot of books and things.
He looks down sadly.
I'd sure like to meet your father.
Peter looks up, startled.
Pa's away. He took some hogs to market. He'll be back come Sunday, I expect.
Oh.
Rita? Take Mr. Wheeler to see Mama.
Mama? Gilbert said...
Gilbert talks about it. Don't say nothing.
Mr. Wheeler?
Jimmy follows Rita out of the parlor and along the hall. Peter steps out into the hall, his unblinking gaze fixed intently on Jimmy walking away. In the kitchen...
Mama, this is Mr. Wheeler. He'll be having supper with us.
A slender, attractive young woman looks up from her work.
Mrs. Janner?
Peter wants supper now, Mama. Baby's getting fussy.
Rita backs out of the kitchen and bolts the door from the outside.
You can't be the mother of this tribe.
They just call me that. I don't mind, really. It makes it easier for the little ones.
Stepmother, are you married to their father?
I'm really happy that you can stay for supper, Mr. Wheeler. I'm not much of a cook, really, but I'm learning. Their mother left a lot of recipes.
She sprinkles flour on a cutting board.
Windows are nailed shut. And what's a bolt doing on that door? On the wrong side.
I don't like the children under my feet while I'm cooking.
She glances down and Jimmy follows her gaze. She scrawled the word help in the flour.
The children say that you're very nice. They like you.
Hearing the door, she erases the message as John and James enter.
Peter don't like his supper this late, Mama.
Everything's ready for the biscuits. Tell the girls to dish up.
Well, it's not really that late, boys. I mean, it's just the time of year. And then there's the rain. But I guess it's early to bed and early to rise on the farm, isn't it? Lots of chores to do, especially with your father being away.
It ain't so bad.
It's a lot of fun sometimes, too.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Particularly when you're young. But then, you know, Peter. Peter doesn't seem to be enjoying it too much. But I guess he'll be going away soon.
Oh, no. Paula said the family sticks together. Like in the Bible.
John cuts James off.
Peter told me to show you to the supper table. Now.
Jimmy glances over at the woman, who averts her gaze. Then he follows the boys out of the kitchen. Later, around the dinner table...
Great. God is good. And we thank him for our food. By his hand we must be fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. Gilbert, are you trying?
It's my turn!
It's your turn tomorrow night. Rita, you lost your turn because you hit James last week. Now, do you want to go to your room? Gilbert.
Gilbert bows his head.
God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food. By his hand we must be fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen.
I don't want no fat.
I ain't got no potatoes.
Jimmy passes the mashed potatoes to Martha as the others help themselves to ham and vegetables.
James, you want that corn? Get the beans there.
James, not with your fingers.
Kind of like carrots.
Well, they're good for you. Have a few.
She puts some on her plate.
I like blackberry jelly.
Why ain't there no blackberry jelly, Mama?
Because you went fishing yesterday instead of collecting the berries. Tomorrow, if the rain lets up, I'll expect 2 full boxes of big thimbleberries.
Martha looks flirtatiously at Jimmy as he passes her some food.
Maybe Pa would like... Maybe Mr. Will would like to go with you. You can kind of show him around a little.
Hey, that'd be great. I know a patch where they're so big they're dragging the ground.
Well, thanks anyway, but I'll be leaving tomorrow as soon as I get a tow truck out here. I figure I can catch a ride into Pinsboro in the morning.
Don't you just love ham, sir?
Hello, Peter.
We butchered a beauty last fall.
I bet he weighed in at over 800.
You dress down on my fire.
You like the mashed potatoes, too. We get fresh milk every morning. See how nice and fluffy they are?
Butter's ready, too. Mama churned just this morning.
Gilbert, you put them biscuits back.
I just
wanted... Yeah, I know what you wanted. Now, how many times I gotta tell you, them dogs don't get nothing but meat.
But they love biscuits better than anything.
Mm-hmm. So they can get fat and soft and lazy. That's all we need around here is a pack of no-account hounds.
They ain't no-account. They do anything we tell them.
And we're gonna keep them that way. Dogs hunting biscuits ain't no good for nothing. Now, you drink your milk.
Peter, when's your father coming home?
Peter looks up at him.
Why don't you eat your supper, Pa?
Jimmy looks over at Peter.
Both their parents died 5 years ago.
5 years ago?
Ma died birthing baby. Pa drank 5 gallons of his own makings and fell off the roof.
5 years ago? But what about the neighbors, people in town?
Come on, now, everybody finish up. It's getting on bedtime.
Wait a minute. I just can't believe this. Somebody must have known something.
Party long strange. Nobody came around much.
He was a good shot, Paul. I'm just like him. Right, Peter?
You're getting there.
Jimmy sighs, dumbstruck.
What do you do for money? How do you pay the gas bills? And what about your schooling?
Their mother was a qualified school teacher, and she left instructions for their schooling. There's natural gas on the property, and the company gives it to them free for as long as they...
We got plenty of money, too. And Pa used to sell whiskey.
You're gonna get a switching, Gilbert, butting in like that. And I told you to drink your milk.
I'm sorry, Peter.
All right, Peter, look, I want to get something straight right now. As soon as that tow truck gets out here tomorrow, I'm leaving. I don't know what this mama and papa stuff is about, but I don't like games. And she is not your mother. Just who are you?
My name's Caroline Henderson, and I'm... Well, it is a game, really. I'm their mama, and, Peter, please tell him.
I wish somebody would tell me something that
makes
sense.
Caroline came to help us out, that's all. We was figuring maybe you'd like to help out, too. Youngins need grown-ups. Somebody to teach them. Tell them what to do. Punish them when they need it. If you don't want to.
Where's my bag, my camera equipment?
I put it all in your room, sir. Upstairs, I know that.
Thanks.
He gets up to leave.
I see that room.
They will stay?
He stops and the children look at him. He turns to Peter.
Till morning. Then you can take your funny farm and... Good night. Mama.
Jimmy walks out of the dining room, leaving Carol Ann alone with the children. At the top of the stairs, Jimmy walks along the hall. To his left, the door of his room stands open and his suitcase lies on the bed. Jimmy glances at the doors across the hall, then walks into his room. As he opens his suitcase, Martha walks in and removes some clothes from it.
Wait a minute, what are you doing?
Martha's hanging the clothes up.
Well, that's all right. I'm only going to be staying to...
She grabs his arm, takes a straight razor from the dresser, and raises it to his face. Gripping her wrist, Jimmy removes the razor from her fingers and folds it closed. He sets the razor on the dresser, picks up a wristwatch and examines it. He glances at Martha as he puts the watch down and opens a drawer. Jimmy removes a monogrammed lint brush from the drawer, then a monogrammed hairbrush, but the monograms don't match. As Jimmy puzzles over it, Martha slips from the room. Jimmy walks to the door and tries the knob, but he's locked in. He hammers the door with his fist, then turns away from it in frustration. Later, Jimmy grips the doorknob as he slides the razor between the door and the jamb. He uses the razor to try to jimmy the lock. Cracking the door open, he folds the razor and tosses it onto the bed. Jimmy swings the door open and creeps into the hall. He carefully closes the door. Across the hall, he notices a door bolted from the outside. With one ear on the hymn singing downstairs, he tiptoes across the hall. Unlatching the bolt, he slides it open. Jimmy slips into the room. Along the hall, Martha steps out of her room, watching. Carol Ann sits up in bed as Jimmy eases her door closed.
Look, I don't know what's going on around here, and I don't care, but I'm leaving.
But you said you'd stay till morning.
That was before I got locked in my room. Now, do you want to stay in this menagerie, or do you want to go?
Oh, we can't go now. I mean, they must have seen you come in here.
They're downstairs singing.
Well, Martha can't sing. She's like a cat. She sees and hears everything.
They're just a bunch of weird kids with some crazy ideas their father pounded into them. I don't know, maybe he wanted to protect his bootlegging business. How did you get mixed up in this?
I picked up Gilbert just the same way as you did.
His mouth hangs open.
There's a bunch of clothes in my room, different sizes, and things with different initials on them.
We're not the first. There was another man, an older man. One morning, he was gone. Peter said he went into the town to get a mechanic, but he never came back. And the car just disappeared.
All right, look. We're just a mile and a half from the highway. The rain has slacked off. We are leaving right now.
We can't go. Don't you understand? We're prisoners.
They're just a bunch of kids.
They're eyes and ears for Peter. And the dogs, you heard him, they're trained.
A pack of hound dogs?
Jimmy grabs Carol Ann's dress off a chair.
Put it on.
Jimmy turns his back to let Carol Ann dress. Moments later, her door swings open, and Jimmy edges out into the hall. Carol Ann joins him and closes the door. Hand in hand, they creep across the hall to the top of the stairs. They descend the stairs together to the landing. As they continue down to the main floor, Martha appears at the railing in her nightdress, a shoebox under one arm. Turning away from the staircase, Martha crosses the hall. Then she enters Carol Ann's room and closes the door. At the bottom of the stairs, Jimmy glances along the hall to the parlor, then nods to Carol Ann that the way is clear. She follows him along the hall to the door. At the door, Jimmy pulls the curtain aside and looks through the window. The dogs stand guard at the bottom of the steps. Seeing movement at the door, the shepherd and the Rottweiler climb up to the top step. Jimmy lets the curtain fall back. Then he and Carol Ann make their way back up the stairs.
Gilbert, you want to sing a song?
They pause above the landing, listening. Jimmy slips an arm around Carol Ann as they reach the top and walk across the hall. He opens Carol Ann's door and she slumps against the doorframe.
We can't get 10 feet from this house.
We better get some sleep. In the daylight, things will look a lot better.
Taking her by the arm, he guides her into the room.
Good night.
He closes her door, but doesn't bolt it. Then he walks across the hall to his own room. He pauses at the door and looks across at Carol Ann's. He glances down the hall at Martha's door, thinking. Then he walks into his room. Moments later, Jimmy dashes out of his room and bursts into Carol Ann's to find a rattlesnake coiled on the bed. Carol Ann cowers against the wall. Edging across the room, Jimmy picks up a chair. As he raises it over his head to strike...
I wanted to do it, Peter. I was just getting a good aim.
I told you not to mess with guns unless I was showing you.
Jimmy glances down at the snake, dead on the sheets.
I told you not to bring no more varmints into the house.
You wouldn't have hurt nobody.
I told you he wouldn't stay in the old shoebox.
Somebody must have let him out.
Was you teasing him again?
I never touched him.
Every time I turned my back, he was pecking on his butt. I did not.
Me too.
All right. Get out of here. All of you. Take that thing with you.
Gilbert picks the snake off the bed and carries it away.
That's right. Don't matter how it got loose. It won't happen again, sir. I can promise you that. No more varmints in the house. Now go to bed. All of you.
The children leave.
No, Mom. Pa.
Peter closes the door as he leaves. In the morning, Peter walks through the woods.
There are circles to every story and two sides to every side. Wish I didn't have to worry about doing what is right. I promise to stay with you, but now I want to leave. And maybe some kind stranger will keep you company.
Peter crosses a shallow creek.
If I'm here in the morning, my mind will be on the sea. When the sun sets in the evening, there's no telling where I'll be. I promise to...
He continues on through the dense undergrowth of the forest.
But now I have to leave. And maybe some kind of stranger will keep you company. Cause Mama said the day would come when the family would live as one, and all the kind strangers will keep us company.
The skies are overcast, and a flock of ducks huddles near the house as Jimmy walks across the porch and into the yard. He realizes his car is gone.
Caroline? Gilbert? Peter? Anybody?
Jimmy.
He spots Carol Ann hanging wash on a clothesline. Jimmy hurries across the yard to her, under the watchful gaze of the Rottweiler and the German Shepherd.
You sure sleep late. It's almost 8 o'clock.
Oh, I've been known to sleep as late as 8:30, 9 o'clock, especially after a night like last night. Caroline, my car is gone.
She glances around nervously.
I've got chores. Everyone's had breakfast. I could heat up some biscuits and ham.
No, thanks. I'm sorry, but I don't eat before noon. And when my almost brand new $7,000 car just disappears after failing to start, I just might lose my appetite altogether.
Well, the boys are going to fix it. They're very handy with machinery.
He spots John in the barn milking a Jersey cow.
Jimmy, please.
That's all right. Just do your chores. I'm sorry. I'm not feeling very gentlemanly this morning.
As Jimmy walks over to the shed, James watches him from his vantage point high in a dead tree. As the German Shepherd and the Rottweiler get to their feet and follow Jimmy to the barn, Carol Ann carries two heavy pails of water away from the pump.
All right, John, where's my car?
Well, good morning. You better get some breakfast in you, Paul. Oh, Peter figured to clear some brush today.
John.
He pulls him to his feet.
Where is my car? And don't call me Pa.
No, boys. Easy. Easy. You better turn me loose, Mr. Wheeler. And just say something nice and low. Go ahead.
Hello, boys. Take it easy now. Now, John, I want you to tell me where my car is, or I'm going to give you a wallop and you are not going to forget, and that is only the beginning.
Never try and punish us in front of the dog, sir.
Where is Peter, John? Look, it's not right to steal other people's property. Now, look, just tell me where Peter is, and I'll talk to him, and after that, I'll decide whether or not you need a whipping.
Huh. Well, he's out at the swimming hole. I can't go till I finish old Beth here. She's a great old milking cow. Good for a full bucket, too.
Which way to the swimming hole?
Around the barn. Through the cornfield, past some trees. Oh, it's over yon way. You'll hear him.
Jimmy leaves.
After morning chores, it's a whoopin' holler time around here.
John smiles happily. Beyond the barn, Jimmy makes his way through a field of corn taller than he is. The German Shepherd pads along behind him. The Rottweiler does too. Jimmy trips on a booby trap, narrowly missing a sharpened stake when he falls. He spots the tripwire hung with rusted tin cans and strung low through the rows of corn. Jimmy gets to his feet, pulls the stake from the ground, and walks on. The German Shepherd steps daintily over the wire. The Rottweiler follows. Jimmy spots the next tripwire in time and steps carefully over it. He emerges from the cornfield trying to locate the voices, then walks toward them. Gilbert jumps off a large rock into the water as the children frolic in a wide creek.
You okay? Get him.
Peter sits on his heels on the shore, and Baby sits on the rock, watching his brothers and sisters playing with inner tubes in the water. Martha slips out of her inner tube and makes her way to the bank of the creek. She stops in the shallows to wring the water out of the hem of her slip. Looking up, she notices Jimmy on the hill overlooking the swimming hole. Watching Martha smile in her wet slip, Peter glances up the hill and sees Jimmy.
All right. Everybody out. Right now.
As the children make their way to the bank, Peter stands up to face Jimmy and the dogs.
Now, I want to know what you've done with my car. And I'm going to be very upset if you fooled around with that motor.
We never touched the motor, sir.
Peter?
Can you swim, sir? The water's nice and warm.
Peter, I don't have time to waste swimming. Now, I just want you to take me to my car, that's all!
Yes, sir. James, give me a hand with the boat.
Jimmy walks down to the bank as Peter unties the boat.
You didn't drag it across the river, did you? Peter, listen, if you've gotten water in that gas tank,
James steadies the bow of the leaky, flat-bottomed rowboat.
Will this thing float?
Get in.
Jimmy steps over the seats and sits down in the bow. Peter pushes off as he steps into the stern. As Peter picks up the paddle, James turns the boat and pushes it downstream. Peter paddles along the creek, and the other children swim along behind the boat. John runs through the woods in time to find the boat in midstream. Jimmy turns around and sees the children swimming after them.
Oh, Peter, look at this thing. Looks like a sieve. My new $60 shoes, cow manure, mud, now swamp water.
Keep ahead of it with it, sir.
Peter hands him a rusty coffee can, and Jimmy begins to bail.
Tell you something, Peter. If there's anything wrong with that car, if there's any tears in the upholstery, any dents, any scratches, I'm going to report you to my insurance company, the Vandal. You're over 18. It's your name that's going to be on that report meter.
Staring intently at the surface of the water, Peter puts down his paddle.
This is the deepest part here, sir. You kids get on back now. It's dangerous out here.
Jimmy follows Peter's sightline and peers deep beneath the surface. His jaw hangs open as he glimpses a shimmering white car-shaped object far below. As Jimmy gets to his feet, John surfaces beside the boat, clinging to the gunwales. Grinning, he tips the boat over, plunging Jimmy into the water. With the boat upside down, the kids all dive beneath the surface. Later, at the house...
Jimmy? Jimmy, you all right?
Carol Ann wrings out a cloth and wipes his brow.
My car. My car's at the bottom of the creek.
Jimmy's in bed, propped up against his pillows.
What happened?
John upset the boat. He did it as a prank. The other children pulled you out. They all swim like fish.
I know what they swim like. I must have hit my head.
Hey, stay, lie down.
They ran my new car right down to the bottom of the creek. And there was a red one down there, and a blue one, and a green one.
Jimmy, they're going to vote.
Vote?
On us. Whether they keep us as parents or not.
They're going to vote on us? This is like a bad dream. It's like a joke.
If they vote no...
Look, you said there were others, and they must have voted on them. That explains those cars at the bottom of the creek.
They like us. I know they do, and they'll vote yes. If they do, that'll give us the time to think of a way to get out of here.
Caroline, I am not going to wait around to go on trial by a bunch of crazy kids. Would you mind getting me a pair of pants? I'm sure my size is in that closet. Where are they now?
They're eating. Peter went to cut a willow switch for you to use on John for tipping the boat up.
Oh, a willow switch.
They want punishment.
Well, I don't. I've had enough. I'm getting out of here.
Jimmy.
Look, I'll make my way to Pennsboro and I'll get help.
You don't understand. They won't let you go. They'll kill you.
Caroline, look. I've survived Vietnam, a rotten marriage. I'm indestructible. Now, would you please get me some pants?
Carol Ann obeys. Next day, in the yard, Jimmy trims leaves from a branch for a switch.
I'm not going to punish you for spilling the milk, John. I think you know that. But that business with the boat was something else. Somebody could have got hurt.
The others stand around watching.
You have to learn about jokes like that.
Well, I was just funning, sir.
There's nothing wrong with that as long as everybody knows you're playing. But that's not the way it happened. Peter, you're going to have to take the dogs off somewhere.
Well, they won't make no fuss. I'll see to it.
Now, look, I don't want everybody standing around. You wouldn't want it that way if it was your turn. This is just between a father and a son.
John smiles at Jimmy.
They could all use a switching. They come near the deep water when I told them not to.
We had to help Pop, Peter.
I'd have took care of that.
Peter, them was cars down there. I'd been on.
That was junk metal, just like I told you. Pa throwed it in there years back. If I catch you swimming near there again, you're going to get something you've never had before.
Nobody's going to go swimming. It's too dangerous. Somebody might get a foot caught in that old junk metal. Peter, you're going to have to take the dogs off. Caroline, you and the girls take care of the ironing.
Let's go hunting, Peter.
Dogs ain't had a real good run in a long time.
Peter, if you want to, you could help pull those stumps out. And after you finish, maybe we could go hunting in a couple of days.
Ah, come on, Peter. I don't want to dig up no...
All right.
Come on.
We'll look up on back of the ridge.
As John's brothers leave the yard, Carol Ann takes the girls and baby inside. The dogs trail after the boys.
All right, John. I want you to go inside that shed, and I want you to think about what you did. Try and figure out why it was wrong.
Then you're gonna switch me?
I want you to think, John. Sometimes thinking's worse than a switching. Go on.
Jimmy breaks his switch as John walks to the shed. As Jimmy crosses the yard, he looks around the farm. He starts to jog. He passes through the gate and breaks into a run. Jimmy dodges low-hanging branches as he runs through the woods. Near the creek, he pauses to get his bearings. Then he runs on. He stops and tries to see the dogs, then resumes running. Stopping again, he looks around, then veers in a different direction. Jimmy stops again, trying to locate the dogs. He spins around as he tries to determine where the barking is coming from. Then he sprints along the path through the woods. Jimmy runs along the shallows in the creek to break the trail of his scent. He falls, recovers his feet, and darts back into the woods. Jimmy climbs over a low stone wall and stumbles as he lands on the other side. He looks up the ridge to find Peter sighting along the barrel of his shotgun.
It's my turn.
Your turn will come soon enough.
Behind Jimmy, a white-tailed buck lies dead. Later, a carving knife stabs into a venison roast.
I said, put your food down.
Jimmy throws down his napkin and stands up.
We're not playing games anymore. I've decided to stay. But Caroline's free to go.
Do you want to, Mama?
If you stay, Jimmy, I will.
Nobody's forcing you to stay. If I'm taking over this family, that's the way it's going to be.
Jimmy walks around the table to Carol Ann.
And there'll be no more locked doors. Is that understood, Peter? Peter?
Yes, sir.
All right. You've got your parents now. You can finish your supper.
Carol Ann glances up to exchange a look with Jimmy as the children settle down to their dinner. Later, Peter leads the children upstairs. Baby rides James' shoulders as they head off to bed. Martha hangs back with Peter, but he sends her to her room too. Stepping over to Carol Ann's door, Peter puts his ear to it.
Ma, we cleaned up the supper dishes. Good night.
Good night, Peter.
He walks across the hall to Jimmy's door.
Good night, Pa.
Good night, Peter.
Peter glances back at Carol Ann's door. Then he walks down the hall. In the boys' room, Baby lies asleep beside a teddy bear. James and Gilbert sleep in their double bed. Sitting on the double bed he shares with John, Peter removes his boots.
He told me to go in the shed, Peter. No way I still know he'd take off that way.
Don't matter. I should have left a couple dogs.
Why don't we vote tonight? If they really want to go.
There'll be time enough tomorrow. I didn't lock the doors tonight. Remember that big red rooster we had? I liked to scratch the person's eyes out.
Yeah?
Well, what happened when we put that rooster in the hen house instead of keeping him penned in the barn?
He got fat and sassy and nice as pie.
Let's just take another look at our rooster in the morning.
John sinks back into his pillow.
Peter, I don't recollect Pa throwing no junk in the creek.
He's too young to remember.
Yeah, but it looked like cars.
We've all stayed together, ain't we? Like Pa said.
Yeah. But
I told you it'd be your turn soon. To shoot and all. Well, there's something else. When you're old enough.
But Peter,
if we vote no on these two tomorrow, there'll be time enough to tell you.
Tell me what, Peter?
Good night, John.
Meanwhile, Jimmy slips into Carol Ann's room.
They didn't lock the doors.
It's gonna be a trick.
Let's go.
But you couldn't make it in the daylight alone.
I panicked. It sounded like the dogs were everywhere.
It's gonna be worse at night.
I've got an idea. Come on.
They sneak into the kitchen. Jimmy spots a bowl on the table and removes the napkin that covers it.
Have we got any more of this stuff?
Cornbread?
Get it.
Carol Ann takes a bowl of cornbread from the cupboard and sets it on the table.
I don't understand.
The dogs. Come on.
Jimmy carries a bundle of cornbread with him as they creep into the hall. He glances up the stairs as they tiptoe along the hall. Outside, the Rottweiler and the Shepherd mount the steps. Jimmy slides the dining room door partially open. He motions Carol Ann to the front door. Jimmy lays a trail of cornbread across the floor and nods to Carol Ann. She cracks the door open and the Shepherd pokes his head inside. As the dog enters the hall, Carol Ann closes the door. The Shepherd eats his way along the cornbread trail. As it steps into the dining room, Jimmy closes the door behind it. They both heave a sigh of relief. He signals her and she opens the front door again. Jimmy slides the dining room door open for the Rottweiler. When the dog whines, Carol Ann checks over her shoulder. The Rottweiler follows the trail of crumbs to the dining room and Carol Ann closes the front door. As the Rottweiler joins the Shepherd in the dining room, Jimmy closes the door behind it and nods to Carol Ann. Soon after, Jimmy and Carol Ann run across the yard hand in hand. Glancing over their shoulders at the house, they run along the track leading away from the farm. They walk through the woods to a gate.
Peter makes it all a game. There are traps everywhere.
I know. All right. Just keep moving. Keep your eyes open and take your time.
Jimmy unhooks the gate. And they move on along the edge of the cornfield. They walk along a path. It's only a scarecrow. Carol Ann sags against Jimmy with relief.
Come on.
They make their way through the woods hand in hand.
Wait a minute. Listen.
They're out.
We'll head for the creek. You throw them off.
The pack of dogs speeds along their trail. Jimmy and Carol Ann splash along the creek. Breaking out of the creek, they run back into the woods. The dogs splash along the creek, still on their trail. A barn looms close in the dark. Jimmy and Carol Ann dart inside and close the door.
I can't go on.
Yes, you can. We got to.
Outside, the dogs run on, having lost the scent. Jimmy watches through a crack as the dogs disappear in the distance. The two fugitives burst out of the barn to find themselves staring down the muzzle of a shotgun. Peter's finger is on the trigger. He stares at them coldly. Later, the Rottweiler sits on guard in the bedroom, where Jimmy lies spread-eagled, his wrists and ankles tied to the corners of the four-poster bed. In Carol Ann's room, Peter stares at the figurine of a motherly woman that sits on top of a cabinet. Carol Ann sits on a chair while Rita dabs her cheek with a cloth. The other children look on.
It wasn't right, Carol Ann, what you done. You lied just like him. That ain't no good way for parents to be.
He wanted to get help, Peter. For all of you.
We don't need no help, as long as we stay together. You ain't gonna give us no more trouble.
He's okay, Annie. He didn't mean nothing bad.
Oh, he's fine. I got him tied up real good, Peter.
Carol Ann sighs in exasperation.
All right. We vote now.
Please, Peter, not yet. Let me talk to him. He won't try and run away again.
I said we vote now. Yes, he stays. He's our pa. We'll do like he says. No. He goes, just like the others.
She stares at him wide-eyed.
James?
He keeps trying to run away. I vote no.
Rita?
I like him. I think Caroline's right. I vote yes.
It's one yes and one no. Gilbert?
I think you make a fine pa. I picked him. I vote yes.
It's two yes and one no. Baby?
Baby can't vote. He doesn't understand.
He's family. He voted yes on you, remember? We all did. Baby, do you want Mr. Wheeler to stay or go?
Go.
It's two and two. John? Don't matter much to me, Peter. Whatever you say.
Carol Ann looks up at John in alarm.
John, you like him. You know you do. He didn't take the switch to you. He made you think. He gave you the chance to figure out right from wrong.
Now, this is family, Caroline. I want you to hear it, but you got no right talking.
You voted yes on me. You voted me your mama.
Yeah, but that's all different now. After what you've done. You see, you're with him. You showed us that. So however the vote goes for him. All right, John's holding back his vote. Martha?
All eyes turn to Martha. She looks over at Peter, then glances at Carol Ann.
Oh, yes, Martha. Don't let Peter send him away.
Carol Ann!
Martha nods.
All right, that's three yes and two no. Since John's going along with however I vote, it's four no and three yes. In the morning, you both go.
The children file out after Peter. Carol Ann slumps in despair. Later, Jimmy glances at the door as Martha enters and goes to him.
Martha, cut me loose.
She looks down at him blankly.
Listen to me. Peter does not care what happens to you and your family. He wants to leave. He wants you and John to stay behind and take his place. The other children don't even know. But you know. You know what happened. You know how those cars got to the bottom of the creek. Do you want to be responsible for that?
She turns away.
Martha! Cut me loose. Cut me loose.
Slowly lifting her gaze, she looks at Jimmy. She reaches for the razor, but stops. Then she picks it up. Stepping closer to him, she unfolds the blade. Then she slices through one rope, freeing Jimmy's right hand.
Martha?
Peter appears in the doorway. He takes the razor from her hand.
It was a fair vote. I'll go on and get some sleep.
Martha leaves the room. Jimmy looks up at Peter.
You better get some sleep, too. You'll be leaving in the morning.
Jimmy glances at the razor in Peter's hand. Peter hands him the razor.
Now, Mr. Wheeler. Trey?
The Rottweiler leaves with Peter. Jimmy flicks the razor open and cuts himself free. The next morning, the house gleams white in the sunshine. Jimmy steps outside and walks across the porch. At the top of the steps, he looks out across the yard at Carol Ann, who's waiting on the lawn beside her suitcase. Jimmy walks across the grass towards her, glancing around for any sign of the children.
Where are they?
I don't know.
Let's get out of here.
Jimmy picks up Carol Ann's suitcase and they start to go.
Goodbye, Mr. Wheeler.
Peter's at the corner of the house.
Caroline?
He walks toward them, stepping between the resting dogs.
It's all over, Peter.
All you had to do was stay. Their folks. Wouldn't have been so bad. You're like all the others. Nobody cares.
Peter pulls a pistol from his belt and points it at them.
I can't let you go, Mr. Wheeler.
It's not like the others, Peter. Not this time. Your brothers and sisters, they'll know.
They'll believe what they're told, like always.
You're wrong, Peter.
Jimmy turns to look across the yard. The other children approach, bunched together in a group.
I told you to go to the swimming hole. Now go, all of you.
It ain't right, Peter. We voted to let him go.
Paul wouldn't want us to hurt nobody.
We'll get somebody else like we always done.
If they left, they'd send somebody to break us up. I'm only doing it for you, don't you see?
No, you're not, Peter. You're doing it for yourself.
No.
How else are you going to get out of here? How are you going to keep from being stuck with those kids all the rest of your life? See all those places you've been dreaming about? California, New Orleans, Mardi Gras?
That ain't true.
Yes, it is true, Peter. Whether you like it or not, it is true.
You're trying to confuse me.
I'm trying to help you.
I love those kids.
Do you? And put that gun down.
Put it down, Peter. Please.
The children look anxiously at their older brother as he considers what to do. Then he slowly lowers the pistol. Peter walks over to Gilbert and the others. Jimmy and Carol Ann watch as Peter cradles Gilbert's head to his chest.
When people stopped, I thought they'd help. It ain't fair. People should help other people.
Jimmy steps forward.
If Peter done wrong, he didn't mean it, Mr. Wheeler.
I know that, John. Peter, there are people, special people, who can help you. They understand. You will too after a while.
Will we ever be a family again?
That's up to Peter.
Peter looks at the gun in his hand, and he offers it to Jimmy. Jimmy accepts it.
I think maybe we ought to take a walk into Pennsboro, Mr. Wheeler.
Jimmy tucks the gun into his waistband as he and Peter walk across the yard together. Carol Ann and the children watch them go. As they walk through the gate and out of the yard, Gilbert runs after them.
Don't let nobody hurt him, Mr. Wheeler!
Don't worry, Gilbert. I won't.
We love you, Peter!
Jimmy and Peter walk on as they glance back at Gilbert.
Me and my dad, we used to act like we could live alone perfectly.
This described version of All the Kind Strangers was created by Audiovision Canada. The narrative description was written by Bill Williams, narrated by Suzanne Bell, and produced by Valerie Hunter. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audiovision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Cast: Stacy Keach, Jimmy; Samantha Egger, Carol Ann; John Savage, Peter; Robbie Benson, John; Arlene Farber, Martha; Tim Parkinson, Gilbert; Patty Parkinson, Rita; Brent Campbell, James; John Connell, Baby. Film editor: Fulmar Blangstead. Music by Ron Frangipani. Music supervisor, Clay Pitts. What Are You Living For? Music, lyrics, and vocal by Regis Mull. All the Kind Strangers. Music and lyrics by Regis Mull. Vocal by Robbie Benson.
Now I have to leave.
Filmed entirely on location in Lebanon, Tennessee. Copyright 1974 by The Kind Strangers Company. A Jerry Gross production for Cinemation Industries.